What do you get when you combine a cup of music, a teaspoon of stories, and a dash of culture and tradition? Mucho Radio, the new recipe for radio.
My name's Henry. I am the husband of a woman with sickle cell, and we have two children together. So both of them are carriers. They have the trait, but neither of them have the disease. My wife and I met, she was, we were just dating for a little bit. We had gone out on a couple dates together. I didn't know anything. I had heard of sickle cell, but I didn't know much about it. It was about, I think, 2 or 3 weeks into our relationship where she had a crisis, and she didn't tell me she had a crisis. I call her up and say, hey, let's hang out. What's going on? And she says, oh, I can't. And I'm trying to get the answer. Why can't you? And finally, she reluctantly tells me, well, I'm in the hospital. And I say, like, are you okay? What happened? And she, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. But you can tell when somebody's in pain, you know, over the phone. You can hear it in their voice. You can hear when somebody's not doing well. So I got her to tell me which hospital she was in. And I went and visited her and spent the whole night there, that first night, just sitting next to her watching what sickle cell is in a person, the extreme pain it puts you through, the trauma of being in the hospital, the suffering that comes along with this disease. And the next day, I went to work. I had been up all night. I went to work. I spent that whole day at work on the internet reading about sickle cell, learning about how it kind of ravages all the areas of your body, how as you go through life, it gets harder and harder and harder as different things, say, you know, your lungs, your heart, your spleen, all these organs start suffering. I left work early that day and went back to the hospital, spent that whole crisis with her in the hospital, trying to support her as best I could, trying to learn how to talk to doctors, how to navigate the healthcare system when she wasn't able to, because of the pain, because of medications, advocating for her. And we've been together since. That was now 7, 8 years ago. We have kids now together, and we've been through many hospitalizations like this, and we've seen it get better. In Toronto, we met in Toronto, and that's where she grew up, and it has gotten a lot better there in terms of the hospital care, in terms of doctors in the emergency room, on the wards, learning how to treat sickle cell and learning how to look out for the complications and the signs of things going wrong that are a little bit different for sickle cell than they are for a lot of other patients. So it can be really difficult for a doctor to kind of navigate sometimes if they don't know much about it. So in Toronto, it's gotten a lot better. There's much more awareness about it, but we've moved out to Halifax now about 6 months ago. And from what we've been hearing here and what little we've seen, there's a lot lower awareness of the disease, both in hospital and in kind of the general public. And that's kind of lower awareness definitely makes any crisis more difficult to work with, scarier. And so we're out here on this walk trying to raise awareness. We're through the association and the work that Rugi and others are doing. It's really, really important work to help get better care for people with sickle cell. It's a hereditary disease. It's a genetic disease that is recessive, which means both parents have to have the traits or the disease itself in order for you to inherit it as a baby. And it usually shows up sometimes very early, sometimes as soon as you're born, you can start showing signs of pain. Sometimes it's not for a few years. My partner was diagnosed when she was about 3 years old because of the pain crisis she was having. Nowadays, it's much better. They can do blood tests as soon as you're born to check for the traits and check for the disease, and that can save a lot of suffering and even some damage that can happen early on. If there is not good treatments or not an awareness that the person has sickle cell and how to treat it quickly when a crisis happens, then yes, death is possible. It depends on where the crisis is. So sickle cell is a blood disease, and the blood goes from being a nice soft round kind of orb, circle, to turning into this sickle shape. And that sickle shape gets stuck in blood vessels and stops the blood from flowing, which means there's no oxygen getting to the tissues around that crisis spot. So if that happens in your lungs, then you stop being able to breathe. If that happens in your heart, then your heart stops beating. If it happens out in the muscle, then that muscle will start to die. And so it depends on where it happens, and there's no way to predict it. You just need doctors. You need medical care to be able to catch it. You need to have an awareness in the family and the people who are caring for the person with sickle cell to know what to look out for, to know the significance of chest pain or even getting a cold and how that can be a risk factor. So having good medical care is really, really important, and awareness in the public and for families who have sickle cell in their family, for communities and removing the stigma around sickle cell. All of these are really important to helping individuals get really good quality care quickly to prevent serious complications or even death. Nowadays, it's really easy to get tested to know, find out if you have sickle cell, and it's really for babies. So as soon as a baby's born, if you suspect you might have some sickle cell trait or disease in your family, if you're of African descent or Caribbean descent, then it's a very good idea to get that test done as soon as the baby's born. And it's really easy. It's a simple little blood test. It's not invasive. It doesn't harm the baby. It's very safe and very clear. And so there's no ambiguity. It's obvious, yes, you have sickle cell. There is no sickle cell. There's traits. And it's really good to know. So if you get the results and they come back negative, no sickle cell, you know, it's just great news. Your baby, that's one more kind of check mark that the baby's healthy and, you know, has a great chance in life. If it comes back negative, then you can get right on top of get your baby seen by hematologists, having connection with the hematology department in your area, and getting proper care and knowing what to look for when the baby, if and when the baby starts having a crisis or feeling pain. It impacts the family life in just about every way. Whether in our case it's our mother, like the mother of our family, or if it's the baby, everybody kind of has to kind of come together to try to care for this person. The pain is something that you can't understand. It's unreal, the kind of pain that can be caused by a sickle cell crisis. And then beyond that, the like long-term damage that can happen to your organs and your body. So it's something where everybody has to come together. For parents, sickle cell can show up really differently for everybody. So some people have a more severe kind of version of the disease, where you might be in the hospital 5-6 times a year with a pain crisis, and a hospitalization might last a week, it might last 2 weeks. Of kind of full-on treatment and recovery. For other people, it's a lot lighter, and maybe it's just some pain when they do exercise or they get tired, and they're constantly tired compared with other people, or you know, every time they get sick, they get some pain as well. So it can change quite a lot, even for people with just the traits, so not sickle cell disease, but just have the traits. There's some research showing that they tend to have more pain than your average person, and tend to be a bit more tired, or, you know, they don't recover from playing sports as fastly as other people, as quickly as other people do. So it's really different from person to person. The biggest sign that you would see is the pain. There might be jaundice, so yellowing of the eyes or yellowing of the skin as the red blood cells break down. Those are kind of going to be the biggest signs. Beyond that, it's staying close contact with your family doctor, getting regular checkups, having your blood work done to make sure that kind of, you know, where you're at and how you're doing, and you know, the people around you can support you in best they can. Understanding the triggers is really important for people supporting someone with sickle cell. Like knowing that really cold weather can cause a pain, knowing that colds can turn into pneumonia and then cause a sickle cell crisis. Things like that, or even really strong heat can cause any sort of real stress to the body, can cause a crisis. So it's just trying to help that person. You know, in our family, we all do what we can to try to, you know, make everything as comfortable for my partner, to not demand or ask too much of her, not make her, you know, run up and down the stairs 20 times a day, and just always checking in, you know, how are you feeling today? What can I do for you today? And I think, I hope that sort of thing helps a lot. Especially for young children, it can be really hard when they're in the hospital and the parents have to be taking turns to stay with them, you know, 24/7, right? You can't have your child in a sickle cell crisis when they're 2 years old and just leave them in the hospital by themselves. So one parent's in there all the time. That means, you know, one parent's doing night shift, one parent's doing a day shift, and they got to figure out how to work around that. And they might have other kids as well that need care. So the extended family, the community, friends can play a huge role in helping that family get through those days. By bringing food around, by offering to pick up the kids, from school, having them over after school, things like that. Just taking care of the rest of the family.
This is Mucho Radio, opening your world to more than just music.